All right, thank you for that. And I do want to say thank you as a church for all of your work, just inviting people and being in your place this morning and in your Sunday school class and all that you did to invite people to be here. And then not just that, you know, once they were here, making them feel welcome. Getting people here, inviting them here is one part of it. The second part is making them feel welcome when they get here. And so I want to thank you for that. We had a great day. We had pulled a bunch, some of those that are usually in here on Sunday, out. So we had room, and it was packed in here with visitors. And so thank you so much for that. And pray that God worked in some of their lives, and they'll be back over the next few weeks or so. I want to talk to you about something from the story. You look at this story, it's a very, very well-known story to us. And so, but there's a truth I want to pull from here I think we'll get today. Sometimes we come up with a solution to a problem that in reality can make the problem worse, right? Many, many years ago, when England had colonies, they realized they had a problem in India. It was being overrun with cobras. They had all these snakes, and they were kind of like, they were multiplying. It was very, very dangerous. And so they're trying to come up with a solution to get rid of them. So they came up with what they thought was a really good solution. They would start paying people, paying for every cobra you killed and brought in. They'd give them some money. Seemed like an easy solution, right? They don't have to go get hurt. Let somebody else go do it. But you know how people are. People are very creative. And so what some of them started doing was breeding cobras. And then they would breed all these cobras and kill them and take them in and get money out of it. Well, what happened is the British, you know, they kind of understood, like, wait a minute, this problem's not going away. Then they realized what happened, and they said, forget it, we're going to scrap the whole program. But it gets worse. When they scrapped the program, there was no longer need for all of these cobras people were raising, and they didn't want to leave them around their houses, so they released them. And the problem got worse, right? We're going to look tonight at a Bible story, not about cobras. That's scary. We're going to look at a Bible story about a solution to a problem that was very, very, very bad. There's another one that I think that has a good ending. I'll give you this one before we move on. But William Tyndale was one of the early translators of translating the Bible into English. Back then, the Bible was you could be put to death for owning a Bible. And those that were translating it or trying to print it were really sought after, and Tyndale was one of those. So he was printing Bibles, and he was trying to underground ship them out everywhere, and it started proliferating. And so some of the countries and the Catholic Church, who was doing the main persecuting, decided that they were going to stop this. And so what they would do is, one of the things they would do is they would buy these Bibles. They'd have spies go in acting like they're trying to, you know, help, and they would pay money to buy these Bibles, and then they would just burn them. And so they paid a lot of money. So Tyndale found out about this and took the Bibles he printed and sold them to them for, it was like 3 or 4 times the amount that they were getting. And he knew they were going to be burned. And they're like, why would he do that? Because he took that money and he printed even more Bibles. And then they started figuring out that the Bibles were not only slowing down, that it was actually, they were actually getting a lot more. And they're figuring out, what's the problem? How is this happening? And someone brought it to their attention, like, you're actually funding this, okay? And so sometimes solutions cause more problems. We're going to see that this evening. This is a very well-known story. It's the story of how sin came into being, or the first sin. It started when Satan was able to confuse Eve about the Word of God. And by the way, that's where sin always starts, when we're confused about the Word of God, or we get to the point where we're just willing to disobey the Word of God. So let's see how this plays out. Look at verse number 1, if you will. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? You notice he starts by questioning the Word of God. And by the way, that's where sin always begins, when you start to question the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you. I found those that question the Word of God really don't know it very well. They're usually doing it from a distance, and they're trying to find an excuse so they don't have to obey the Word of God. But Satan comes up, and he's going to go back and forth with her, a little bit of dialogue. And so he just starts out like, did God really say that? Verse 2, And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's correct answer. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. That's true also. But also, neither shall you touch it. God never said that, lest you die. So she gets confused and she starts to exaggerate the word of God. You know, hey, the word of God is even, it's you can't do this. Well, then Satan starts to see that he's getting an inroad in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, now that she's a little bit, he says, okay, she's not even getting this, what God said. So he said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He continued by denying the word of God. By the way, whenever you deny the word of God, you're in big trouble. If God says it, regardless of how we feel about it, that's it. And that's just how we should, you know, feel. Well, my emotions tell me something different. I get that. But our emotions are wrong. Well, I heard somebody say this. I know. But if I have to put my money on who said it, God or somebody else, I'm going to stick with God. Because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So he denied it. And then here we go, verse 5. He's going to attack the character of the word of God. Listen to what he says. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. You know this. He said, wait a minute, God's holding out on you. God's, can you imagine? It's like now you're attacking God's character. And this isn't just someone that they read about in the Bible and had faith that he existed. This is someone that talked with them on a regular basis. They had direct access to God in a way that no one else ever has. And so, you know, God's character, he's holding out on you. By the way, that's what young people always believe. Well, you know, we follow the Bible, it's keeping us from this and that. No, it isn't. It's keeping you from sin. So what happened after all this back and forth? Verse 6, she disobeys the word of God. Look at it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I mean, God never said it wasn't good for food. He said, don't eat it. And that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She's starting to take a turn there. The tree was good for food, and it was pleasant. That doesn't mean that we should desire it to make us wise. By the way, the wisdom that she wanted, the wisdom to make her own decisions apart from God, that's what Satan said would happen. And did eat. She took of the fruit and did eat and gave unto her husband with her. And he did eat. She was so confused, she started looking at the tree, and then it started making sense to her, and she started seeing it in a sense from what she wanted. And she sinned. Now, that's not the message. The message is what takes place after that. We, as believers, will be who we are as much as what we do when we sin as to what we do to keep from sinning. See, because none of us are perfect. Now, don't take the message like, okay, cool, we can sin as long as we handle it correctly. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that because we're imperfect, we'll do some sins. By the way, it shouldn't be the gross sins because those usually come after steps of small sins. Right? I mean, if you're walking with God, you're trying to do the right thing, you're not going to go out all of a sudden tomorrow and do something heinous, I don't believe. I believe it starts small. So how we handle that will determine how far we go. Because all of us are going to have to handle it when we do wrong. And they did not handle it correctly. Here's how they handle it. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked. They didn't do that before. Sin hadn't entered in. They didn't have those type of thoughts. And here's the solution. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know what their solution was? Cover it up. Just cover it up. I mean, they realized, hey, wait a minute, they didn't need to deal with that. There was no sin. But now that they're sinned, they're going to see things from a different light. They're going to have these desires that are wrong. And so they're like, what do we do now? I mean, it wouldn't be long. God was going to come. He talked to them on a regular basis. They probably should have went to him. But you know what they did? Let's cover it up. They came up with what I call a fig leaf solution. Let's just make some fig leaves. Let's take the fig leaves and let's cover ourselves up. What a great solution. That is how a lot of people choose to handle sin. They choose a fig leaf solution. Now, as I look here, I see several. I'm not going to give you how many because then you're going to try to do the mental math and you'll think we'll be here all night. We're not. Okay? It's been Easter. You've worked hard. And we're hungry. I'll go through these briefly, but I want you to see these because all of us will have to deal with when we do something wrong and we need to do it correctly and not sew fig leaves together. Here's the fig leaf solution number one. We accept what should be denied. Now, this is before the sin, but if this would have been handled correctly, there wouldn't have been a need to sew some fig leaves together. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit. Bang. Now it's all beginning. And she did eat, and that wasn't good enough for her. And she gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. This is the one that causes all the problems when we decide to accept and do something which we know isn't right, which we know that God says you should not do, sin. We choose to believe that we can just disobey God and get away with it. That's the part that's really silly. That you know God sees you all the time. God sees me all the time. He knows what we're doing. We can sneak around and we can lay out our plans, but the fact of the matter is, we'll look that way, that way, that way, that way. We never look that way. He sees everything we're doing. We saw how she did this. She started hanging around and talking to him, and she should have realized right away, this isn't the kind of, I shouldn't be dialoguing with this guy. The first thing he did was question what God said. Then she thinks, well, I'll debate my way out of it. I'll go back and forth with him. That's not going to work. And then she eventually heard something that kind of appealed to her flesh. And then she looks and sees it, and it's game, set, and match. It's over. Well, you have to be very, very careful. When we allow ourselves to get that close to doing that which is wrong, we start seeing sin in a different light. We don't see it from God's perspective. We start to see it from the perspective of our flesh. By then, it's too late. And everything inside of our mind that's yelling, no, don't do it, is drowned out by the flesh which says, wow, that doesn't look too bad. That's always what happens. Let's be clear about this. There's one thing a Christian can never successfully do. Sin. You can't. You just can't do it. God is real and God can see everything about us. We think we can. People in the Bible have tried. Samson tried. I mean, he went from girl to girl to girl, and he thought he could get away with disobeying God, you know, because he had this supernatural strength given to him by God, and eventually enough was enough, and God took the strength away from him, and he ended up paying the ultimate price. You know, I always think of Lot's wife. It's like God said, came down to him and said, I'm going to destroy the city, and she's like, wow, she's with her husband. I'm like, oh, okay, let's get out of here. But yet when God said, hey, don't look back or you're going to be turned into a pillar of salt, she didn't believe that. Kind of the pick and choose, right? And she looked back and what happened? She became a pillar of salt. Thought she could get away with it. Think of Solomon. Solomon started, the wisest man that ever lived, thinking just slowly started disobeying God. You know, God told the kings like, hey, don't multiply horses to yourself. And he started doing that. And it's like, why is that a big deal? Because he wanted the kings to trust in him, not in the strength of the horses. And then he started multiplying the wives, and by that time, it's all over. And he started doing wrong. We preached about that not long ago. We cannot get away with sin. And before we move on to the next thing, I do want to mention this. When we do allow ourselves to get to this point, it's funny. We don't realize that we're never going to do that alone. Now she gave it to her husband. Imagine how he felt. And I'm not blaming her. He could have stepped up and not done it. But you see, we have an influence one way or another. And when we choose to go down a wrong path, you know, we're gonna put others that we care about in a precarious situation. You're married, you're gonna put your spouse in that situation. And really, the worst of it sometimes is you put your children in that situation. Children need parents that aren't perfect, because none of us are. But they need children at least are trying to serve God and trying to do the right thing. And they can look at you and say, I know you're not perfect, but I know you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to be real about your faith. That's what they really need. When we sin, we can hurt others. And by the way, our testimony, we can hurt people who are looking to Christianity and they look and they see a Christian who doesn't care about living or doing the right thing, and it's a horrible witness. So that is the first fig leaf. But now they've sinned, so what are they going to do? Fig leaf solution number two. We hide what should be revealed. That's what they did. They realized now, uh-oh, we don't have any clothes on. By the way, it was just them two. Should have just asked God. No. So we're going to sew this together. Now that the sin is in the open, here's the problem with us. A decision must be made. You have to make a decision. What am I going to do now? By the way, if you're saved and you're a Christian, God will convict you about that. You'll feel this thing like, you know what? That wasn't the right thing to do. That's God's trigger you to say, yeah, let's fix this. Let's do the right thing here. But they didn't do that. She tried to cover it up instead of taking it to God. He tried to cover it up. Isn't that what we do? You know, I think of King David, who should have been at war. And here he is looking at his rooftop, and there's a lady down here taking a bath in the open. The customs of the day, maybe, I don't know, the apartment complex, I'm not sure. And he sees that and he calls her up. He does the wrong thing. Now he has a decision. And you know what he chose? He chose a fig leaf. She's pregnant. Let's bring Uriah in from the war. And then he'll think the kid is his. Think, you say, and David was not, he was not an idiot. But when you get to sin, you just all over the map, and what can I do to cover it? And he's thinking like, sure. And then when he wouldn't do that, he's like, well, let's have him killed. He writes a note and says, hey, have the battle and put him at the front where you know that we're going to lose some soldiers so that he'll get lost. And that's what happened. He tried to cover it up. I heard this. I told my son-in-law I was going to use it. Heard my son-in-law, Gary, he said this about sin. He's like, when someone sinned, it's like this. Like, you've already been with Bathsheba. What are you going to do now? Kill Uriah? Are you going to take another step? Because when you start taking more steps, what happens? It gets worse. Deal with what you've done. That's the best way to handle it. I think of Achan. Achan, God said, we're gonna take Jericho, we're gonna burn it, you don't get anything. By the way, after Jericho, they could take anything, okay? But he couldn't wait. So he took a Babylonian garnish, a garment, and I'm trying to remember, I know he took some gold, wedges of gold. Is that all he took? Is there a third one? I don't know. By the way, he could never, you know, I'm sure the garment said made in Jericho. You know, it's like he could never wear it. Like, hey, where'd you get that? Well, before we took Jericho, there was a flea market. There's nothing to get. And he hides it. And then it all comes out in the open. You're not going to be able to hide your sin. The best solution, and we'll look at it in a minute, is to confess it. See, here's what we think. If we do something wrong, we think we hide it, we'll get away with it. But when we try to hide it, all it does is keep pushing us towards more and more sin, which gets worse. See, we hide it because we don't want it to be known and we don't want to face the consequences. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to face those consequences anyhow. Get forgiveness. You say, why? That'll help us maybe avoid all the consequences, but I know one thing for sure, it'll help us avoid consequences of further sin. Don't hide it. Fix solution number three. We evade what should be heard. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It's the voice of the Lord. And Adam and his wife, hid themselves. I guess that's fig leaf number two. From the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Could you imagine that? I mean, Like, they knew he's the one who created. Like, Adam woke up, this is his first second on earth, like, hey, I created you. And then it's like, you want a wife? Lay down. He wakes up, he's got pain in his side, and it's like, there she is. And now he's got a pain on both sides. Just kidding, I'm kidding. What happens is we don't have a pain on this side. We give her a pain on both sides. How about that, ladies? Can I get a witness? Okay, moving on correct now. But they're that, I'm talking about that close to him. And they're like, oh man, here he comes. You hide behind that tree, I'll hide behind this tree. Why? They didn't want to hear it. They knew intrinsically that God was going to know what was going on, or they were going to be found out. By the way, hiding behind the trees from God had already started when they tried to hide behind the fig leaves. This is one of the worst of the fig leaf solutions. Instead of confessing your sin, we allow it to create a further distance in our relationship with God. Now, when we sin, there's naturally, if we do not deal with it, there's naturally going to be that distance, right? Like, oh man, I've done this, and it's like, you know, two people that get in an argument, and there's a little bit of something there, and you go and you get it right, that type of thing. But and that's natural. But what happens is now that little distance that would easily be dealt with if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instead, we hide it, and now that distance becomes a little more permanent, and it gets farther and farther and farther and farther and farther. And it didn't have to. They didn't deal with it. Isaiah tells us, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, if you feel like there's a little distance in your relationship with God, you feel like, you know, you almost feel like you're praying and it doesn't go outside of the walls of the room. You know what I'm talking about? That might be God's way of saying, hey, why don't we deal with this issue first? And everything's going to be better. But we try to hide it, and then the room goes from being drywall to iron. So let's be very careful. Let's make this simple. What are they avoiding? The Bible says it was the voice of the Lord God in the garden. When we sin and we don't deal with it, you know what? Let me just say this. This book isn't very appealing anymore. Because what happens, you open it up, and what's the first thing on your mind? I want to read. I want to hear from you, God. I know, but what about that thing? Yeah, we'll get to that later. You know, Lord, I'm just going to, and you're going to, how many of you ever tried to do something when something else is on your mind? Right? And you're trying to like, you know, I'm just going to push it to the side and soldier through. You're not. And you'll read a page and like, what did I just read? I got this thing over here. God's like, hey, or you get down to pray. I'm going to pray. As soon as you get down, God's like, good, you're in a good spot. Tell me about what you did. Oh, no, Lord, I'm going to pray for America. I'm going to pray for, you know, Easter Sunday. And God's like, hey, time out. What about this? Well, Pastor, when I pray, I don't know what sins to confess. Number one, what planet do you live on? Number two, here's all you got to say. Lord, I want to confess what I've done wrong. Is there any way I've displeased you? Get a pen and paper, probably several sheets. God will bring it to our attention. And so let's not try to hide from his voice. Let's not try to get away from what we ought to be listening to. You've heard this, right? The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. It's your choice. Fig leaf solution 4. We avoid what should be answered. Verse 9 and 10. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, now listen, where art thou? Okay, can I just tell you something? He knew, right? I've mentioned before, you know, I used to play hide and seek with the kids, and you know, some, you know how kids are, like, okay, you go hide, and they like hide behind a curtain. Like, the curtain's moving, and it's like, hey, where are you? They laugh. It's like, these kids. That's how we are with God, right? I'm gonna hide behind the tree. You'll never see me. God knew where they are, but God wanted them to point out where they are. He could have just went and did it, but he wanted them to come out. Verse 10, and he said, I'm right here behind this tree. No. He's already getting into defense mode, right? I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Your fault, God. I mean, your voice, it scares me. And I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Okay, wait a minute, I'm trying to get the question, where art thou? You ever ask your kids a question about something? Hey, do you know anything about this? And then they answered something different. Oh, we had a good time today. We're at the park. I'm talking about the park. That, by the way, you know what that means? Guilt, guilt, guilt. They did it. But we have to answer the questions. We don't want to answer the questions. We just want to fix the problem. Lord, I was afraid because I'm naked. Well, God's like, well, first I want you to tell me where you're at. I want you to fess up. I have found this. When people want answers, they only want answers to get out of the consequences, not avoiding the root of the problem which brought the consequences. Have you ever noticed that? I'm having a problem. Okay, what? I mean, you know, it's you know, there's drama in my house or my marriage or this is going on or, you know, I got a court date or I got this or I got that and I just really need help with this. I'm really stressed right now. It's like, wait a minute. What they want is this. What we want. We want relief from the consequences. We don't want to get to the problem or the root which brought us into the consequences, right? Isn't that how we are? I want you to take the pressure off. I don't want you to help me fix what brought the pressure. And so what happens is if we help someone with their consequences only and we don't get to the root, you know what happens? Now they're just going to get a whole new set of consequences. The best thing to do is help them get rid of the root so that the consequences take care of themselves. Look, if you have a tree in your house and it's bearing bad fruit, you know what you do? Rip it out. It will die, and the bad fruit will die. That, look, it's like weed whacker, right? A weed whacker is really good. All it does is take what you can see out of there. Like, oh, here, let me get rid of these weeds. It looks good. I know, until the weeds grow right back up. You got to kill it at the thing. So what do we have to do? We have to be honest. We have to be willing to answer the question. I remember years ago, in the early days of the church, most everybody that came had to be picked up. And I had the teenagers, and I'd make several runs, you know, picking them up in the church van. And I found out sometimes, you know, the kids is, oh, you know, hey, Brother Myers, I'm not coming today. I'd call them all, you know, and like, you know, I have to do this. Or something came up, or I'm not feeling well. And I find out later they're at the mall or something. And so I had them all in Sunday school. I said, do me a favor. If you're not going to come to church, don't lie to me. Just tell me the truth. I said, I'm not going to be mad. And so the next Sunday morning, I call, hey, Charlie, the guy, Charlie, I remember a Cambodian kid, Charlie. Hey, Charlie, you coming? No, I'm not coming today. Why, Charlie? He goes, I heard what you said last week. I'm going to be honest. I just don't feel like it. And I'm like, you know what, Charlie? I admire your honesty. Thank you for being honest. He goes, wow, thank you. I said, but I'll be by anyhow because that's a really bad reason. Now I found out why the kids lied to me, okay? He's like, that's why I didn't want to tell you. Okay. So that's bad. But anyhow, God's plan is always this. He's asking the question. God's plan is confession, not denial. Here's the verse. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, Proverbs 28:13. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. God wants us to not just confess it, God wants us to confess it because we want to forsake it. By the way, if that, and let me help, if that is not your reason for going to God for forgiveness and confession, because you want forgiveness and you don't want to do it anymore, you're not getting forgiveness. It's not the thing like, yeah, Lord, I did it, you caught me, please forgive me, and you know you're going to do it again tomorrow. You have to go with the mentality like, you know what confessing sin is? It means agreeing with God that what I did was wrong. Not like, oops, I got caught. Right? Like, I've had all kinds of confessions. You know, your kid, they do something like, hey, did you do this? I got proof. Yeah, I did it. That's not, I'm sorry. You're not confessing. You got busted. Okay? But if they come to you and say, you know, I just broke something. I wasn't supposed to be playing in the room, and I did, and I broke it. That's a big difference. Oh, they're still going to pay for it, but that's a big difference. And so we have to be very careful. Confession is not effective without the desire to forsake. God does. You know what God wants? He say, oh, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What's the next phrase? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like, you're forgiven? Now let's work on not doing that anymore. Fig leaf solution number 6. We excuse what should be accepted. Now he asked Adam, Eve made me do it, okay? That's great. Verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And then you go down to 13, you get a bunch of excuses. Everything's about excuses. You know why we deny? We don't answer the question because we want to make excuses or blame others. I'll never understand why people will do that. They'll settle by blaming others when the fact of the matter is you're the one who's going to suffer the consequences. I can do something horrible and I can blame this person, that person. But you know what? This person, that person, and that person, they're not suffering the consequences. I am. And by the way, they didn't make me do it. Satan didn't get her like in a headlock and shove it the fruit down her throat. All he did was get her confused to where she went and took it by herself. Adam could have said no when she offered it, said, you know what, that's not what I want for dinner tonight. Okay, I want something better. No. We do it because we want to. There are many have you ever heard these phrases? This is all excuses. After all, we're all sinners. That's not an excuse to sin. If you're using that as an excuse to sin, you're going down a really bad. Or we take, you know, I want to let you know I made a mistake. No, you sinned. Lord, forgive me for my weakness. Lord, I made a mistake. No, you sinned. We sinned. We could just say that. Read David's Psalms that he wrote after the Bathsheba incident. He confessed that he sinned. Well, you know, this sin is just a disease. That's our society nowadays, right? You know, I just got this disease, a drug addiction. That's not a disease. You chose to. And if that's true, stay away from me. I don't want to catch it. Yeah. Alcoholism isn't a disease. It's not. We choose to. That went over real well. That's great. Thanks. I grew up in a dysfunctional home, to which I say, get in line. We all did. Society's against me. Then go against society. Well, here's one. People do something just ignorant. I had to do something. No, you didn't. It's the people around me. Okay. That could be true, but anyhow. That's just how I am. Then change. And then the last one. Fig leaf solution number 7. I'm doing good. This one's horrible, horrible, horrible. We spiritualize what should be sinful. You know, he talks to Adam. Hey, look, this lady over here you gave me. Okay, all right. Let's go to Eve. God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? All he asked is, what did you do? She should have said, I looked at the fruit, kind of looked good, and I ate it. No, that's too easy. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's a spiritual problem. That guy, have you ever met him? He's super snaky. God knew him. You can't blame him. It's a spiritual. First, it's a physical. Like, you know, some people around me. So now we're going to go, oh, the devil made me do it. How many remember Flip Wilson? I want to know who's old. I've heard of him. I don't know who he is. I just be honest with you. He was an old guy on some show in the 60s when I was like 1 year old, and he would always, oh, the devil made me do it. Now Christians do that, right? But we don't say the devil. How can we spiritualize our sinfulness? Are you ready? God knows I'm a sinner. I'm under grace. Like, really? You make it sound like you got run over. Like, here comes a boatload of grace. Bam! If you're under grace, you'll sin less, not more. Read the Bible. Read Romans chapter 5 and 6. It's all right there. That's a spiritual reason. Like, hey, I'm saved. I'm under grace. I can do what I want. That's really bad. Here's one. The church is all about list. I'm about relationship. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Well, you know, list. You mean like the Ten Commandments? Like some of the stuff in Proverbs? Lists are just easy to remember. You know, no. I can keep this list, but it's just about a relationship. Great, because the deeper your relationship, the more you'll follow the list. When I hear that, my antennas go up. Boop! I probably shouldn't say that, but I say things I shouldn't sometimes. Ooh. I was listening to a guy years a while ago, and he was preaching. I'm like, I don't know who he was, but I thought he was solid. Like, you know, I was reading this book by this girl, and she was a pastor's daughter, and she got away. And it was all about, because her whole life was about a list and not a relationship with Christ. And he was using that to excuse it. And I'm like, that's her fault. I'm pretty sure in church they said, hey, listen, don't spend time with God. Just dress right. Stay away from your Bible, but don't lie. Have I ever told you not to get in the Bible? That is a spiritual smokescreen to be backslid. And by the way, I will meet you halfway. You can keep an outward list and think you're right with God, but if you're not doing it because you love God and because you see it in the Bible and because you're spending time with Him, that list isn't helping you. And you're not right with God because you keep the list. Keeping the list is right. It doesn't keep you right with God. It's your relationship with God. But when you have a relationship with God, you want to be righteous and you do the things He said, whether they're a list or by themselves. All right, I want to get done early here, so for you guys, we'll move on. God loves me as I am, even if I'm flawed. But that doesn't mean you should always stay flawed. Oh. God doesn't reject anybody. Read the Bible. Yes, He does. Really? For Adam and Eve's sons, one of them brought the right offering. The other said, I'll bring what I want. God says, reject it. There's a church. There's a really good Mexican restaurant by our house. Super Mex. Great Mex? Great Mex? It used to be Kentucky Fried Chicken years ago, and then it got saved and became Great Mex. It was great. And so right next to it's this congregational nonsense church. I knew there's a problem because it has a rainbow flag in the front. And they have a little sign. God doesn't reject anybody, but neither do we. Wait a minute. God doesn't reject you if you come for salvation. But you can't just do what you want. God will forgive us, yes. God loves us, yes. But He's saying, hey, get in line with what I want because that's where the blessing is found. Amen. Well, they're a Christian and they do this. Well, if it's not against the Bible, then put a apostrophe and say, and they're backslid. I'm not supposed to gauge my life based on what other Christians do. I'm supposed to gauge my life on what the Bible says. And if I've heard people that claim to be Christians, excuse all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, I can help you. Get a Bible and read it. Start in the New Testament. I can go on, but I don't want to. Well, I knew a Christian, and they did this. And so now, I'm done with Christianity. Listen. Don't bail out because somebody became backslidden or did something horrific. God will deal with them, okay? And that does not represent Christianity. But a person that's, I'm not going to church anymore. I went to church and somebody did something horrible and they took off and I'm not going anymore. Then you can't read your Bible. Because there's a lot of people in the Bible that did horrible things. And you know why God tells us that? So that we avoid those things. Okay? And we learn how to avoid those things. But I'm going to judge Christianity based off Jesus Christ. Amen. You all want to backslide, go ahead. But I'm not going to say, man, everybody in the church did this horrible stuff. Jesus is still pretty good. Jesus is still resurrected. Amen. It's still Easter. Amen. And He's still good. And I'm not going to let that get me. I think there's a lot of them are bad, but this fig leaf solution can be the worst simply because what it does is we're spiritualizing what we're doing, which is wrong, instead of just going to the Bible and finding out what God says. Say, what's the point of everything? I have no clue. Just kidding. Here's the whole point. We have to deal with it when we do wrong. And the point is, deal with that little thing right away. It doesn't become a big thing. You look at a person that becomes immoral, adultery and all that stuff. It starts with a little thing over here. They may have saw something on social media they should have not saw. Some little hag gets into their DMs. They see something on YouTube. Somebody says something flirtatious. They're at a place and they feel a very bad vibe. And instead of leaving and saying, I ain't going back there, they stay just a little bit too long. You understand that? Those are all in and of themselves small things. But when we don't deal with the small thing, it gets stronger and stronger. Look, you know what? Here, I'm done. I really do want to be done. David, the small thing was this. Man, I'm bored. I'm going to get on the roof. Get some fresh air. What? What is she doing taking a bath outside? I'm going back in the house. Solved. But it's like, it's always the pretty ones that stay in the bathtub too long, you know? Wow. And he looked too long, and what did he do? Hey, Tom, whatever. Wait a few minutes, Tom, but there's a lady that lives in that house down. Who is that? Oh, Uriah. That's his wife. Uriah, one of his mighty men. That should have been the second time he said, uh-oh, no. But see, he didn't say no the first time. Like, okay, well, maybe we can just have a conversation together. Right? Come on. Stop right there. Deal with that sin right there, and you're not going to find out her name, her husband's name. She ain't coming up for a cup of coffee, and she ain't going home in the morning. I'm not trying to be crass. So that's what we need to do. How are we going to deal with it? Deal with it right away. You know, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. And Lord, I want to get that right, and I want forgiveness. And Lord, I'm staying away from that. And there's no problem. Quit sowing fig leaves and trying to cover this thing up. Because that's where we get in trouble. Let's stand together if we may tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. The point is this. If you're gonna fight it at the front end. Don't let it go too far. And all of us, we're going to sin. We're going to do something that's not right. Let's deal with it right away. Let's not go into self-preservation mode. Let's not go into cover-up mode. If you deal with it, it's over and it's done with, and you move on with a clear heart and a clear conscience, and you're cleansed and you're forgiven. It's like, man, that was just not who I am. That was just something that briefly happened, and I ain't letting that happen again. I'm not going to react like that again. Start on the front end. Don't sow fig leaves, because those solutions make the problem worse. Piano's gonna play. God spoke to you, why don't you come? Maybe you need to say, Lord, put that guard up so that I never do that. Lord, help me every morning to search my heart. And did I do something wrong? Lord, if you tag me immediately for something that maybe was a little bit off in my life, hit me up right there, and Lord, I'm gonna take care of it right there. I'm not gonna wait.